EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There's 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There's 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all having a good week. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Pennsylvania is our destination today, as we are joined by Sharon. And firstly, Sharon will be sharing a couple of her UFO sightings, then about a reoccurring dream she had at a very young age. A distressing dream of dying in a past life. And a visit from a recently deceased teenager who was a student at the same school that she taught at. Sharon, up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Sharon. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, how are you, Nick?
I'm pretty good, thank you. And thank you for coming on today and you're calling from Pennsylvania.
Yes, Pittsburgh, and I'm honored to be a guest. I really appreciate your time and pretty excited to share some interesting stories for you.
We looking forward to it, and you're more than welcome. Now, Sharon, you have some experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Okay. Well, the first one I want to go over is about a UFO sighting. And I was in my early 20s, and I had my cute little car, and, you know, I'd go out on the weekends with girlfriends all the time, and I was usually the designated driver. I'm not a big drinker, so typically I was the one driving. So on this particular evening, it was a Saturday night, I had 3 friends. I went and picked everybody up, and we didn't have the greatest time. It was just an okay evening, and we just weren't feeling it. So it ended up not being a night where we stayed out until 2 when the bars were closing. We actually packed it up a little bit early. I had dropped everybody off. I was on the street that I live on, and it's a pretty long street, a couple miles, and a little bit windy, and not a lot of traffic because it was somewhere in the vicinity of 1 o'clock, 1:15, right in there. And I'm driving, and I came to a stop sign, and the stop sign actually is right at a bend. And just before I was going to make the bend, I stopped, and just right up in the sky, I just noticed there were 2 circles of white lights. Each light was the same size. They were very white lights. They weren't glowing. They were actually pretty, it's not like they had a glow off the edge of them. They were just pretty solid. And there was an outer circle and an inner circle. And so the outer circle was moving at the same speed as the inner circle, but they were going in different directions. So the outer circle was going clockwise, the inner circle was going counterclockwise, and it was moving rather slow. And it was just crazy to see something like that. And I immediately knew, this isn't an airplane. I just didn't know what it was. And UFO was the first thing that came to mind, because what else would look like that? And I was really actually excited to see this. So now I'm not moving from the stop sign. My foot's on the brake and I'm just staring into the sky in front of me. And then all these thoughts start coming through my mind. You know, what is this? It has to be UFO. This is crazy. I need someone to see this with me. And I'm looking around. No one's on the street. It's a family neighborhood. Everyone's probably in bed. So I was real interested to continue to watch this. And it seemed like it was putting on a show for me, because the lights would go around and then they'd stop and then they'd go the opposite way and then they'd stop. And then the outer circle got a little larger and wider, and the inner circle of lights went in between the outer circle. Now there's one big, large outer circle, and it went around for a little bit. And then lights that were opposite of each other went through the center, passing each other over to the other side. And then another set would do it. And it was a very, like, a symmetrical the whole time. There was always the same distance between the lights. And it truly was almost like a light show, you know, like it was putting on a show for me. I didn't know what the heck I was looking at, but it was just there. So I want to say it was about a minute or so into it. And now I really wanted to look at it outside of the car. So I put the car in park. I got out of the car and I opened the door, and I'm standing there. And it's kind of funny because I was holding on to the door like that. Like if this UFO wanted to take me, that was really going to help. You know, I felt protected by having the car around me. So it's kind of one hand's on the roof of the car and one hand's on the door, and I kept watching. But I really didn't feel scared. I just was mesmerized and just in awe of what I was seeing. And I'm watching and watching and just, I'm thinking, somebody's got to come down the street. Somebody has to see this. Now, this is in 1989, give or take a year, but it was right in that ballpark, and nobody had cell phones. So I didn't have a camera in my car. I didn't have a cell phone. There wasn't anybody I could tell. And so then I started thinking, I've been here a while. It's still here. I want someone to see this. And I was contemplating if I should go to one of the neighbor houses right there. There were, you know, houses all around. And then I'm thinking, well, it'll be just my luck. I'll knock on someone's door at 1 a.m. or ring a bell, and this thing's going to take off, and these people are going to think I'm crazy, or they're going to call the police. And that fear of being a young girl, I was about 22. And I just didn't think I would have any credibility. I was young and people are going to think this girl's nuts. So I ended up just not going to a house and waiting for another car to come by. I'm there now about 15 minutes and it's still putting on this show. And the whole time I'm waiting, I'm trying to see, are these lights on the bottom of a craft of some sort, or are they individual, you know, from each other? I could not see an outline of anything that they were on. And the sky was so dark. So I never fully could say, yes, I saw like a round circle of a craft and these were lights underneath. I just couldn't tell. But I kind of felt like it was a craft with lights underneath, because when the circle got to a certain point, it never went beyond that. Like it always stayed within the confines of a certain limit that the lights were moving in. And I mean, they did some really neat things, but they were always white. They were always moving symmetrically. So I'm now trying to go home. I figure nobody's coming. I'm not far from home. I'm just going to get in the car. I'll drive home. This is up in the sky. I'll wake my parents up and they can hopefully witness this with me. And this is kind of wild. I got in my car and I looked, and it's funny, as I was getting in the car, I thought, I hope when I lose sight of it and my eyes aren't locked on it and I go from outside to inside of the car, it's not going to go away. It'll still be there. So then I felt confident. I get in the car, it's still there. Now, as I'm driving to my house, it was always in front of me up in the sky. It almost was like it was traveling with me as I was going home. It just never was closer or farther. It was always the same size. And so it kind of, to me, felt like it was moving with me. So now I have to go down a slight hill to get to my street to turn right where my driveway is. And as I'm going down the hill, the trees start to cover it a little bit. And I thought, well, as soon as I make the bend real quick, I'll still be able to see it. So I make the bend, my eyes are off of it. I didn't pull very far. I made the bend. I had my window down and I stopped and I looked up, gone. I put the car in park. I open the door. I get out. I'm looking and looking. It was gone. And I never saw it again. So it was just, I was so upset. I wanted someone to witness this with me. I would say there were probably 20 lights, 18 to 20 lights total. And I've been almost obsessed with watching every single UFO story on TV. And I love now that we have so many more documentaries to watch and so many more things on TV than we did back then. And I've watched as much as I can. I'm always looking for a new show or who's going to talk about an experience. Nobody has ever described that, anything like that. The closest I ever got was on a couple shows, people had mentioned there were white lights that were in a circle and they moved around, but that was it. It was never the lights put on a show and turned into two circles and went different ways and switched places with each other. Nothing like that. So, you know, I've always wondered, has anyone else seen what I saw? Pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's definitely a strange one. That, I mean, you know, if it was, if you'd experienced this over the last couple of years, you know, some could say, you know, it's those new spotlights, you know, that nightclubs and shows use, you know, they're pretty mm-hmm. advanced now. They dance around and stuff. But this is 1989, and you know, we didn't have that then.
Not that many either. I know what you're talking about. We have, you know, grand openings for things, and they might have like three or four lights that are going up, but you can see the band of light leading up to it. These were just perfect circles bright in the sky, coming from the sky. Yeah, it did. There's no way it was anything like that. Back then, too, we didn't have drones, you know, because I've seen some drone shows that are really cool recently on the internet. Just, you know, neat stuff to look at, but it's not even anything like that. It was just solid round circles. I don't know. I really don't know what to say. It was a pretty neat thing to see. I wish I had a witness to it. And I would love to see one of these shows where somebody describes the same thing. I've yet to have that happen.
Well, you know, we might get lucky and one of our listeners might write in reporting something similar. I mean, I did have something similar earlier with a guest. It's a little bit different, but I had the disc and then we had smaller discs within. But mm-hmm. their behavior was a little bit different. And it was several years, actually. It was only about 6 years ago. But you're saying that we had the main circle. So that was the main circle of light. And then within the main circle, we had several other lights. Is that right?
Yes, the lights. When I first noticed that there were two circles, the smaller circle and the larger circle, they were all the same size, all the same distance apart. Everything, when it moved, was symmetrical. Like there was always the same amount of space between the lights. They would always move at the same speed. And what was really cool was when the outer circle got a little bit larger and the smaller circle, the lights went up and went in between the larger lights and it made one big circle. And then they did these little things where they would move the two lights opposite each other, would go to the circle, pass each other, and then take each other's spot on the other side. And then the next set would do it. The next set would do it. It was seriously like a show was being put on. And they did different things too. There were times where one would go in and make a maneuver and go to the other side. Then another one would do it. Yeah, I don't know. Never heard anyone else see anything like that.
Interesting. And could you see any particular pattern it was doing? Was it doing anything that would suggest it was a maybe communicating or giving a signal of some sort?
You know, my whole impression the whole time was it was kind of a show. It was just, you know, what's it going to do next? And some things, obviously, they were repeated where the lights went around and around. And I really wasn't feeling I was getting a message or anything from it. No, I didn't feel like, and I wasn't scared really. Although for some reason I wanted to hold on to my car, but I really didn't feel scared by it. I kind of just always wondered too, why did I get to see this? You know, what was this about? And it bothers me. I just want more information. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that because I did have a past life regression hypnotherapy session and I brought this up, but I'll get into that when I talk about the next thing I wanted to talk to you about because it'll kind of funnel into the story at some point.
Okay. And what kind of height would you say, if you know, what kind of degree would you say it was? And did it remain roughly in the same location? I know it stayed ahead of you, but did it roughly the same height?
When I first saw it, it never moved. So for that 15 to 20 minutes I watched waiting for someone else to drive by and see it with me, it never moved from the position in the sky it was. And then as I started to drive my car, what I thought was kind of crazy was it still was the same exact size the entire time I was driving. Now, you would think if I'm moving on the street and it's up in the sky, it would be in a different position, but that's why I kind of felt like it was staying in front of me so I could keep seeing it, because I was driving real slow and staring out more than I was looking at the road. I was staring at it and it stayed the same. And then as I started to head down the hill, that's when the trees kind of went in front of it and I lost a little bit of sight of where it was at in the sky. And it's really hard to say how far away it was. I don't know. It was a dark night, just dark night. I mean, it wasn't right above the car, I'll put it to you that way. It was up in the sky somewhere, but it wasn't tiny either. It was large. In all honesty, let me think about this. If I were standing and I held out in front of me to give you an idea of how big it looked in the sky, I'm trying to think how big. If I held something out in front of me, how big of a circle it made? Pretty big. Actually, it was pretty big. I mean, it was a pretty big size circle. And I know that's hard when you say big, what that means. And like I said, I couldn't tell depth at all. That wasn't even a possibility to see how close or far up in the sky it was. You know, the size of a hula hoop, you know, regular hula hoop. I would say if I held a hula hoop out in front of me, it was a big circle like that. So it was pretty big, but you figure it was up in the sky, which made it bigger, but it was a big, nice big circle.
Okay, so you're looking at a big size. So I can certainly understand why you were holding on to your car for grounding. Something that big.
Oh, well, yeah, it wasn't little. It was big. But it was crazy because I didn't feel scared. You would think I would have felt scared, but I was just more like, this is so cool. You know, I was more into the excitement of seeing it. And it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. And I knew it wasn't something from this earth. It wasn't anything I could make a reference to. It was something very, very unique.
And did you ever report this? Did you ever officially report it?
I did. Well, first of all, I called, I think Channel 4 News is around our area. I called like a radio station and I wanted to tell someone about it the next day. And they referenced me to a radio station where there was a gentleman who would take reports. And I had to wait until Monday to be able to reach him. And I had called in the evening and I reached this guy from the radio station who takes reports on unusual things. And he said, thank you very much. I'll, you know, check some things in the area. I'll get back to you. And he did call a few days later and he said, hey, I'm just following up. We don't, you know, I checked. We don't have any reports of anything in the area. So I really don't know what to tell you. It sounds very unique. And that was the end of it. So I don't even remember what radio station that was. And then MUFON became a thing. And in like the years, early 2000s, when I heard of MUFON, I did make a report because I thought, well, hey, you know, maybe somewhere along the way, someone else saw something like this. And I asked him, I said, if you find anything like this in your files, let me know. But, you know, I never heard back from them. But I did make an official report with them, but it was many years after it happened too. So, but it is tucked away in a MUFON report somewhere.
Yeah, it's always good, no matter how historic the experience was, it's always good to report it because, you know, there's plenty of researchers that are investigating similar ones, probably even in the same area. So it's good to actually look back and go, oh, hang on, it was the same thing which happened back in 89 or whatever. Yes. So it does help. So I always say that if you haven't reported yet, report it. It doesn't make a difference how long ago it was.
Yes.
Interesting. And you weren't scared. You were completely mesmerized.
Yeah. I didn't feel like anything bad was going to happen. I do have a little bit of a, you know, things will kick in with me sometimes. And I, you know, where, you know, oh, I should be a little cautious here. I didn't have any of those vibes coming up from it. It was just, I was just so excited to see something so cool. And I wanted so badly for someone else to drive down the street so I could point up and say, stop, look at this with me. And yeah, I mean, today with the cell phones, that would have been no problem. I could have taken videos. I could have called people. You know, but could have called the police and said, come and look at this with me. But that was not the option back in those 80s. So,
no, it sure wasn't. We didn't actually have phones until I think another 10 years after that.
It was a while.
It was a while, all right. What about sound? Do you recall any sound at all?
Nothing. Silent. I heard nothing at all. Quiet, just a light show, and that's it. No sounds of any kind.
And was any light that was touching any of the surroundings around you?
No, it wasn't like light was coming off of it. It was just, I know what you're saying, like beaming down, there was some light reflecting down. No, it was just perfect circles lit up in the sky.
So self-contained. Okay. Interesting stuff. Okay, would you like to move on now, Sharon?
Sure. Okay, this is going to be real interesting. So when I was very young, and I have to say this is probably anywhere between the ages of 2, 3, and 4. I was very little. I used to go to bed first. Then my brothers, who were 5 years and 7 years older than I was, who were in school, I wasn't in school yet, they would have to go get ready for bed. And I, you know, was always the first one in bed. So once I got to about kindergarten age, around 5 or 6, I was allowed to stay up later. And so I'm positive age-wise, this was in the ballpark of 2, 3, or 4. And I want to say probably maybe closer to 3, because I was still pretty little when this happened. So I had a scary dream one night. And in this dream, everything was pitch black. It was dark. My hands were up in front of me and I couldn't see them, which was scary. And I was having trouble breathing, and I would inhale, and I was getting, with every breath, I was getting less and less air. And I was totally panicked. And I knew I was going to die. There was no way, whatever was happening to me, I didn't think I was going to make it. And so I woke up in bed, and the first time I remember this, I was actually sitting up in bed and my hands were like right around my throat. And I remember taking a big breath when I woke up, and it was, I'm 53 and I still remember this. That's how big of an impression this made on me. And I remember going, oh, and I woke up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can breathe, you know, and it was scary. So I went downstairs to tell my mom, and she was in the living room, and I'm, you know, crying and telling her about this. And I could see that I scared her when I told her, and she was just, you know, oh, it's a bad dream. I'll come up. I'll put you back to bed. And I felt bad that I scared her, because I could tell, you know, her seeing me so scared and upset, upset her. So then this happened, not night after night, but it happened every so often. You know, ended up becoming a recurring dream, I would say, for maybe at least 6 months. I probably dreamt this, gosh, a dozen or more times. So then every time I'd have the dream, though, it seemed almost like, after a while, I got farther into it. I got closer to death. I got closer to having less and less air. I got closer to realizing this is it, you know? So I think as I became more comfortable with it, I was being taken further through what was going on. And I have no idea how I could be that young, but I knew wholeheartedly, deep down from somewhere within, that is how I died in a previous life. I didn't even know anything about previous lives, but I knew it. I just knew it. So after I would have these dreams, they became less scary because I got used to having it. And then I'd wake up and I'd lay there and I'd think, wow, I wonder how I died. Maybe I drowned. No, if I was drowning, I'd feel water. And I would think through all these scenarios. And I thought, was, did someone murder me? Did they put their hands around my neck and choke me to death? And that's why I couldn't breathe. And I'm like, no, I don't feel like someone was choking me. And I finally started thinking maybe I choked on something and it was stuck in my throat and I couldn't breathe. And then I thought maybe it was asthma. And then I finally just settled on, I think I died from asthma, because my throat felt, I could feel something in my throat, and it wasn't really food. It was just kind of getting raspier or something. And as I kept inhaling, and I wasn't having trouble inhaling, so that led me to believe I didn't have something stuck in my throat. I think I just had an asthma attack and died. That's kind of how I settled in on, I think I died from an asthma attack in a previous life. And the last time I had the dream, and the final time, I actually started to experience the last breath I took and my soul leaving my body. And I got close to that in previous dreams, but never where I just let go and just said, I know this is it. This is it. I couldn't get any more air. I was starting to kind of black out, and I knew I was going to die. And I was okay with it. I was actually at peace because I knew it was coming. So I took that last breath and I started to come out of my body into just, and it's so hard to describe, into warmth and love and a feeling of, yay, I'm going home. I'm going home. This is great. I just was just leaving my body and it was just wonderful. It felt great. And boom, just that quick, I woke up. But that split second of all those feelings of this is what happens when you die were so peaceful and so euphoric and wonderful. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm not going to be afraid to die. And that has stuck with me so solidly. It's just an experience I'll never forget. I've never felt anything like that feeling. When I say euphoria, you know, there's things in life that make you feel good and everything, but nothing compares to this. It was just so wonderful. It was just awesome. And I remember after I woke up, I thought, no, I want to keep feeling that. And I just have a complete comfort level with accepting I'm going to die. I'm not afraid. When it's meant to happen, when my soul's had its journey and it's at the end, I'm okay with it. I don't have any fear. And I know it was that recurring dream and that experience that brought me to feel that way. So now we're going to flash forward to, oh, and I didn't tell my mom. In fact, I didn't tell anyone about that. That just kind of stuck with me. And I really didn't talk about it. There was really no reason to. So now we're going to go to where I'm 25 years old. I work with a girl who kind of was into going to see psychics and things. So in our area, there was a sign that pops up in a yard and it says tarot card readings, you know, call this number. So I had seen it many times. I drove by it and she said, hey, I'm going to call that number. Do you want to go get a reading done sometime? And I said, sure, I'll go with you. You know, so it was $25 and we made appointments, and at lunch one day we decided to each spend our lunch going together to get the readings and everything. And it was a Romanian family. And the young girl was right around my age, actually, and that was going to do my tarot card reading. And she was really interesting. And she said, we're from Romania, and they had an accent and everything. And they're very beautiful, beautiful women, the sisters and the mom. They were so pretty. And she said, everyone in our families had this gift for, you know, many, many generations. And we teach each other, you know, and everyone has this wonderful gift. So at any rate, the reading was pretty spot on about a lot of things. I mean, she definitely had some valid things that she was telling me, and I could actually say that was, you know, pretty cool. So then she talked to my friend about getting a past life reading done. And my friend said, yeah, I want to do it. And I thought, well, that's a waste of money. It was $40. And I thought, you can make up anything. Why would you get a past life reading? I said, you're throwing your money out. Anyone who's a good actor could make up all kinds of crazy stuff on the spot. And I just think it's a waste of money. It can't be proven. I'm not doing it. So she went and did it. And after she did it one day, she says, let's have lunch after and I'll tell you what she said. And everything she told her, I have to admit, if she just made that up out of the blue and said it to me, it had no relevance to me or in my life whatsoever. But it really made sense and hit a lot of chords with my friend. So now I'm intrigued. There was some neat stuff that she had said. And I thought, this is pretty wild. So I said, well, someday when I have extra money, which probably is never going to happen, you know, I'll go get it done for $40. And here I was in sales and I had a big commission check coming. And she reminded me, hey, you're going to have the money. Go get the reading done. So I went and did it. So many things that this girl had told me kind of, they were spot on in line with me. And I'm going to give you a couple that are really kind of crazy. She said, crazy in a good way. She said, in this life you're in now, you're adopted. Now, how many people can you say that to in a reading? You know, that I'm sure it doesn't apply to a ton of people, only to some. And she's correct. I am adopted. And she said, in your previous life, your parents were your biological parents. You've been brought together again in this life, but they're not your biological parents, but they're the same souls of your parents. And she said, in that past life, they had to bury you in this life, and they had to bury you as a child to pay off their karmic debt. And in this life, you will get to have the life that you wanted, which is where you bury your parents, and, you know, they are not your biological parents, though. And that's crazy, because that is very true. And I said, wow. I said, that's amazing you could say that. You are right. I'm adopted. I said, but I want to touch on something you said. I said, you know, you said I died as a child. Can you tell me anything about that? And now I'm already thinking, huh, I wonder if this is the life before this one where I had that recurring dream. But I didn't say anything. I just said, I want to know what you see. And she says to me, I can see it's pitch dark. I can see your hands in front of your face. You can't see them. It's almost like she was reading my mind. And she said, you're very scared. You're having trouble breathing. There's a fire, which I never once thought of. And she says, you die from the smoke. and inhalation of the smoke, and that's how you passed. And I was like, oh my gosh. I said, I can't believe you're telling me this. I had a reoccurring dream as a kid, and all these years I thought it was an asthma attack because I was getting less and less oxygen. And she says, no, it was a fire, but your body didn't burn in the fire. So now, like, I'm in. There are people that are gifted, because how could she know that? That was amazing.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, and more.
The handler one day told her this whole thing about how they've been terraforming on Mars and they're building a colony and they're recruiting specific people of specific bloodlines and specific talents and skill sets to go onto the planet.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Then as time goes on and time goes by, you start thinking, well, how did she really know that? And then I start doubting again. Then when time goes by, you're just like, wow, was she really that right? I don't know. So then I'm a teacher and I worked in a school, and one of my friends who was another teacher there had a wonderful psychic. This guy, you want to talk about someone that's the real deal. He was so good. He read off of metal. So if I had a key or I had jewelry, he would rub it and get impressions. And he was just awesome. And I had a number of readings through the years from him. And he was just really amazing with his ability. He had these crystally beautiful eyes that they were so unique. You know, he kind of looked, and I've heard people say the aliens live among us. Well, you know what? He had that look. Like, he had a unique look. As a human being, he stood out. You know, and like I said, very kind, well-spoken, gifted, used his gift to help and heal people. Just really nice. So the first reading I had from him, I was going through a tough time in my life, and it was really nice. It gave me hope, what the things he told me, you know, I was going to come out of this dark time, and where I was just having a lot of sadness and things. At the end of the first time he ever did a reading with me, he said, do you have any questions? Is there anything you want to know about? And I said, I do have a question. I said, I had this reoccurring dream as a child, and I'm wondering if you can tell me anything about that or hone in on that and let me know what you think. He goes, okay, hold on. And I never said past life. I said, just a reoccurring dream as a child. I left it at that. And he says, okay, I see you can't breathe. I see your hands around your neck. You can't get any air. It's getting worse and worse. And that, you know, he says, you're in a colder state like Maine, Massachusetts, something with an M. There's cold water. You're up a little farther in the States. And he said, it wasn't even that long ago. And he said, you were a child around the age of 12, give or take, like a young teen. And you were on the second floor of a house and there was a fire and your body didn't burn, but you died in the fire from the smoke. Now that was it. That's like a mic drop moment, as they say. I've had this now, so many details of that confirmed by two people with psychic abilities. It floored me. And I know what the experience was in my dream that I had. So I just thought that was amazing. And it just goes to show you there's just so much more out there. So now I really started getting into wanting to learn more about this whole past life thing. And I got into a lot of reading from Brian Weiss. Dr. Brian Weiss was featured on Oprah. He's written many books. He's a psychiatrist. He graduated from Columbia University and Yale Medical School and did not believe in past life anything. And what's amazing is that's how his career started out, with patients that when he did the hypnotherapy, they went back to the time where their phobias started, and it was like centuries ago from past lives. And he's a real interesting guy. I don't know if you've heard of him or read anything. He has many books now, but it's Brian Weiss. He was on Oprah's show several times, and that's what he does for a living, past life regression therapy. His books all talk about reincarnation, future life regressions, past life regressions, surviving after death, what your soul, all that. So really, really interesting. So I've read a lot of his things, and I started to get more into this whole like spirituality. And I don't even have enough time in a day. I'm always so busy to learn as much as I want. I'm actually looking forward to retiring someday so I can really dive in. But just so much of what I've read and what I hear from other people, there's so much more out there. You know, there's just so much more to life. And I truly believe that our souls take a journey, and this isn't our first go around. Something interesting along those lines are when I've seen different psychics, I've seen a few, it's not like I've seen a million of them, but when I've seen some, they've always said to me, you're an older soul. You know, you're farther along in your journey. You're getting up there. And they've mentioned that my daughter and I are very connected. We have traveled many lives together, and we have a very deep connection. So to get into this next part of past lives, I've talked to my daughter a lot about this kind of stuff and said, oh, you know, apparently we're pretty tight here. We're pretty connected. And, you know, we've talked about how, you know, I believe souls take a journey, which is very different from the Catholicism that my whole family's into. And my parents believe, you know, my dad's the, you're going to heaven or hell when you die. And that's it. That's black and white. And if you're not Catholic, well, then you're going to hell. You know, they're just so set in their ways. It was drilled into them as kids. But I have a very different take on all of it. And this next part of the story with past life experiences is when my daughter was 12. And I don't want to really tell her business, but this one part I have to say. She had a major, there was a traumatic event that happened that sparked this fear of leaving me. She had like a separation anxiety that started. And there's kind of a story around it. It all has to do with her business and the trauma she suffered. But what happened was she didn't want to leave me. She had a big fear that if she's not with me, something might happen in the end. She didn't want to be alone without me, didn't want anything to happen when I wasn't there. And it was caused me to make some big changes in my life. We had to change her school. It was a big deal. And it didn't seem after so many months to be getting better. And I really didn't know what to do. So someone had mentioned to me, you know, they knew somebody whose child had separation anxiety, and they went to a regression hypnotherapist. And they gave me the name of the gentleman. His name is Michael Weir. And he lived out, you know, around the Pittsburgh area. And so I made an appointment to go see him. And I said, I'd like to see if you can get to the bottom of what's going on with my daughter. Maybe if we can find the root of this, maybe it's rooted to a past life. I don't know. Maybe that would help her. I don't know what to do, but someone told me it was helpful with their child. So I'm going to give it a shot. And he's like, oh, absolutely. And yes, there can be connections. And I know who you're talking about. And it did make a big difference in that child's life. And they were able to get past it. So I'm all in. I'll help you out, whatever I can do. I said, and while we're at it, I would really like to see if you could give me a past life regression too. I said, I kind of want to go back into past lives, but even more importantly, I want to go back to something that happened in this life when I saw something in the sky. So the first thing to me was I really wanted to see if I could hone in a little more on that whole UFO sighting and just find out why. I just want to know more about it. So I thought maybe if he regresses me, I can talk about it. Maybe I'll get something more out of it than what I can remember. It was so long ago. So we go to see him, and my husband and I, not my daughter's father, but because we were divorced. So there was another man. In fact, I don't even think we weren't even married at the time. Come to think of it, we were just dating. But we went in, and the gentleman, Michael, was very professional. He showed us the room. He was it's in a house where his office was. So he takes us in the room, and there's a nice recliner and a couch and a desk. And he says, I'm going to sit over here. And, you know, my daughter would be in the recliner. And he says the Holy Spirit helps him with his messages and kind of explained his process and everything. And so I said, are you okay with this? Do you want me to stay here? Is that going to mess you up? To my daughter, you know, do you need to focus? And she was like, no, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. She goes, I really want to stop feeling like this. I'll be good. So then my boyfriend and I were sitting out in the living room, just kind of waiting. And not very much time went by. And all of a sudden she comes walking out and she says, hey, Mom, he says he needs you to go in there. And I'm like, oh, are you done? Did it work? She goes, no. And then at this point he's walking out. And he said, my guides are telling me that I really need to regress you. And your daughter can witness it and be there to experience it. But the actual experience of what's going to happen with the regression really needs to be you. And I thought, are you kidding me? Oh, I thought, okay, if that's going to help her, I'll do it. Now, I am a type A personality. I'm very much, I like to be in charge. I like to run things. I'm not a control freak, but I just am a person who, if you give me a job to do, I'm going to do it really well the first time. I'll admit when I'm wrong. I'll fix what I need to fix. You know, go, go, go all the time. And I'm also a little on the high strung side. And that kind of hurts me with wanting to meditate because my mind just doesn't shut down. I always have a to-do list going around and around in my mind. So I've tried to meditate and it's either I sit there and I think about things and then something will pop in my head. Oh, I totally forgot this. I better write it down. It ruins the meditation because now I have to go get a pen and paper and write something down I don't want to forget. Or I fall asleep or I meditate. I'm thinking, next thing I know, I wake up and I just had a nap and I'm like, you know, so I struggle to meditate. So I'm a little concerned about being put under too, because I keep thinking, I don't know if my mind's going to give in to hypnotherapy, honestly. I knew it was going to be a struggle to get me to relax enough to possibly have an experience. So I was really struggling with that. And now I didn't mind if I was struggling with that and not able to make it happen to find information out for myself to go back and think about a UFO sighting or a past life. I now had the pressure of, I have to make this work because it's going to benefit my daughter. And see, for me, that put even more pressure on me that, oh my gosh, now I really have to make sure I relax and get into this meditative hypnotic state where, you know, some good can come out of it for my daughter's sake. So that kind of started stressing me. I'm trying to stay calm. So now we get into the room and he said, can I video this? And he has a recorder there. He says, yeah, I kind of like to tape it if you're okay with that. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And he said, you'll remember everything. It's not like you're going to have blackout sessions and not know what you did or said. He said, you know, the people that go through hypnotherapy, because that kind of freaked me out too. I didn't know much about it. And I thought, oh gosh, I hope I don't, like, you know, think I'm napping and I'm sitting there blabbing about who knows what. So I'm trying to go under. I'm struggling. I'm really struggling to quiet my mind and do this. 40 minutes later, at one point we had to take a break. I said, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And he says, well, my guides are saying you will, you know, kind of like you're going to, you know, you'll be able to. I'm like, all right. So now I'm like praying a little bit in my head. I'm like, please, everybody, you know, help me get to where I need to be to help my daughter and get to this state. And it was a solid 40 minutes or so. I finally, you know, I'm relaxed. My mind is not bouncing around as much as it was. I'm starting to actually feel like, okay, you know, I'm doing it. And nothing's happening. So, you know, I'm like, relaxed now. I'm ready to go. Nothing's happening. And then just that quick, I started to think, well, I guess we're going to have to call this a wrap. And just as I'm thinking, I don't think this is going to work. Boom. It was, and I guess this is what a vision's like for someone, because I've never had anything like this before or after. My eyes are closed. And like a little circle opens up into like what appeared to be like an oval where I could see. And this is what I saw. And it all happened very quickly though too. So like, yeah, the oval opens up and now I put my hands are out in front of me. I can see that I'm black. It looked like I'm on the plains. You know, my skin's real, real dark. And I have a little child in front of me that was probably 8 or 9 years old, bald head, little black child. I honestly don't know if it was a boy or girl. However, I knew it was my child. And that I knew. So I'm like, that's my child. There's me. And I could see my hands. And there were trees around, but it was kind of like dirty, like a dirty, just all dirt. And then like some trees and some things. And just as I'm starting to realize, oh, I think we're black and we're in Africa, you know, and I'm kind of making heads or tails of what I'm looking at. Just that quick, a lion comes from kind of behind me. I didn't see it. All I know is this big paw comes around and its body hits me and the paw with the nails, they're going into my chest, but I don't feel pain. I feel them actually going into my chest. I feel the jaw around my neck and my head and it starts biting into me and I can feel all this. And it's taken me down. Like it was all like, boom, the thing jumped on me. It bit me. It put its claws into me and it was taking me down to the ground. And as I'm falling to the ground, now the crazy thing about this was I couldn't smell anything. I couldn't feel pain, but I saw the paw and, you know, it was definitely like a lion. And the fur. I could see that all around. I could feel it biting through my head. Like it was literally detaching my jaw from my head as it was biting my jaw off my face. It was going into my neck. I could feel all that without pain, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was dying. That I was going to die. Like that was it. I was getting mauled by this lion. I was going to die. And as I'm falling to the ground and this is happening, I can see my child, who was only a few feet in front of me, looking at me with the most fearful expression. And I quickly was thinking too, this is it, because I knew not only am I going to get it, my child's going to get eaten by this thing too. I knew that this was it for both of us. And it was all within, like, all these thoughts flood your mind. And just as I have the thoughts, boom, that oval like circle closed up into a little hole and boom, everything was black. And it was just a few seconds that I had that experience. I'm just like that vision and the feelings and all that was going on. And the gentleman, Michael Weir, he was trying to bring me to. I'm starting to come to and I'm starting to process everything I just, you know, saw and experienced. My face is wet through. Tears were pouring out of my eyes, just pouring. Like my daughter was kind of scared. She's like, Mom, are you okay? Are you okay? And I opened my eyes. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like I had to take a while to get myself to stop crying and be able to explain it. And in the end, I finally was able to explain to them the whole thing and what I experienced. And it was kind of, I think what we got out of it was my daughter and I were together in a past life, and I was taken right in front of her. What a traumatic thing for a child to see and to know you're like losing your parent. I think she was probably getting an ex, but I don't know. We never got to that point because she said to me, well, maybe I got away. Maybe I saw you die and I got away. And I said, I remember thinking as I'm going down to the ground, you're next, but who knows? We don't know that far into it. But it gave her and I something to talk about. And I said to her, I need you to see. It's crystal clear to me, and I hope that I can make this clear to you. We are together. We are connected. Our souls have that connection. We were, obviously, maybe I was taken from you in that life. Maybe you did run away and you managed to not get killed. But did you see our souls are still together? Here we are again. And I think that was the point of this, to let you know this anxiety you have when you're not with me, that I might die and you'll never see me again or be with me again. That's not the case. And that kind of started my daughter's spiritual journey too, because of that experience. And I do see why now that the guides told Michael to have the mom experience that, because that might've been too much for my daughter to go through, because maybe for her to have experienced watching me get mauled, how was that going to help her with separation anxiety and me getting killed? It was, I think I understood after it was all done, why his guide said, no, have your mom come in, because I needed to be the one that went through it. It was absolutely profound. And it's on video somewhere in his library, but it was quite amazing. And so I've never had a vision. That is, I'm guessing what visions are like from what people describe. They can see something happening and, you know, you might not get all the senses from it. Thank God I didn't feel the pain from it, because I'm sure that was very painful, but it was sure scary. And it was so gross because I could feel this thing biting my face apart. It was just crazy. So as far as past lives go, I'm very much a believer. And then I have one other little thing regarding the whole past life thing. There's a real nice lady. She's an older lady. She's been doing readings for a long time. And the people that I worked with would go to her a lot. And so they said, you got to come see this woman. She's pretty cool. And I didn't like where I was working. I was looking for a new job. And I thought, oh, maybe she'll give me some help. I'm getting, you know, out of where I'm working. I wasn't real happy there. So I went to see her. And absolutely, she said I was, you know, going to have another job doing the same thing I'm doing, just somewhere better. It was going to be more money and I'd be a lot happier. That was, you know, nice to hear. She also tells me, once again, I'm an older soul. And that my daughter and I are very connected. Now, I've heard this so many times. I am a true believer. There's a big connection there between us. And then I said to her, hey, I have a question for you. Now, this is the third time I'm trying to get some validation. I said, I had a recurring dream as a child, and I'm waiting to see what she's saying about it. And she closes her eyes and she's thinking, and she says, yes, yes, you were. She said, you were, you know, anywhere around 10, 11, 12. Okay, so now she's in that time frame that George had told me, the other psychic. And she said, it was not that long ago, probably 1800s, early 1900s. And she said, there were people that were going around and killing people in their homes and taking things and burning their houses down. Now, this gets real interesting. She says to me, they came into your house, and she said, you were shot, but you didn't die from the shot. And your daughter in this life was with you in that life, and both of you were shot, and neither one of you died from the bullets that shot you, but the fire from the house is what killed you. It was the smoke that killed you. And she said, and you know something? She said, you were shot somewhere like around here. And she's pointing to like her stomach and side area. And she said, like right in this area. And it wasn't enough to kill you. It was just one bullet, but you know, you didn't get out of bed and you died from the fire. She said, you have a little birthmark that is white and circular where that bullet went through you in your past life. And she said, and your daughter has one too. Now, I wish I could show you. I have had, since I was little, this little circle white birthmark on my skin. And I remember when I grew up, I would ask my mom, what's this from? She's like, I don't know. You always had that. When my daughter was born, she also has one. It's not in the exact same place, but it's also in like the vicinity. Hers is a little smaller than mine, but we both have white birthmarks that are circular in like our stomach side areas. And she said, that is a wound that both of you had in a past life. Now, I have to tell you, there's nobody on this earth that can tell me that this stuff isn't real. I think I'm a person that needs proof. And that was proof positive for me. That one really took the cake, so to speak, when she told me about that. And the fact that I physically have a scar in this life. And I had, from reading past life books and watching TV shows, I had heard of people who had birthmarks from things that happened in past lives, from ways that they were like, you know, slain and shot and things. So I had heard of that before, but I couldn't believe she said it to me. And it is true, 100%. I have the physical mark to prove it, and so does my daughter. So that is my past life regression. Those are my experiences. And I can only say they're very profound. And through the journey of many years of talking to people that apparently are gifted to know things, they all said the same thing. No one deviated from that story. In fact, I got more information each time I asked about it. So, you know, it's pretty crazy.
Well, that was certainly interesting, Sharon. It's not just, you know, you had this dream, this memory. You then have confirmation from a couple of different psychics, you know, and they were all in roughly in the same area. You know, they weren't vague about it. The only shame about it is that, you know, if it had probably been within the last 60, 70 odd years, there may be some kind of record of the death, you know, if you know these guys going around killing people and setting fire to the houses and robbing them for whatever reason, there could even be some kind of record of it, because you roughly know the location, so Maine, Massachusetts kind of area. You know your age as well, so what, 10, 11, 12, or in that ballpark. So you might even be able to dig something up about that.
At some point, I'm probably going to have another regression hypnotherapy session. And I want to look into that for sure. And maybe I can learn more from it. It's pretty cool, though. I mean, how about the one lady telling me my parents in this life aren't my biological parents? That was an amazing thing to hear, because I was adopted. My brothers, we were all adopted. And it's just wild that she could say that to me. And like I said, she couldn't have said that to too many people, I don't think. I mean, it's not a common thing.
No, so. I mean, these days it's a little bit different, but you know, it wasn't very common then.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And then she talked about the karmic retribution that my parents had to pay by dealing with the loss of a child. And then a lot of things I've read, that comes up over and over again, that you people have karma, you know, and karmic retribution. And So that's an interesting topic too. And definitely it should hopefully help to get people to understand you need to live a good life. You need to be a good person, because when you do bad things and you have this free will to make a choice, if you're choosing poorly and hurting people, it's not good. We're not supposed to be that way. And there's going to be a price to be paid for that somehow, some way along the line.
Absolutely. And my wife is Buddhist, and we talk about this quite a lot, about karmic payback and all that kind of stuff. I think when it comes to religion, I think people that are religious and are good people because they fear what might happen later on. You know, I think it's better if you're living a life and you don't necessarily are good because you have to be good, you're good because that's who you are. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's your soul. So I definitely do believe that. I think you will pay things back eventually in some form. If it's not in this life, maybe not mm-hmm. in the following, but, you know, you will have to pay it back eventually.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brian Weiss talks about that in his book, actually. One of the books I read, it was Many Lives, Many Masters. And he discusses that topic too. It's pretty interesting. So hopefully people are trying to live good lives and be good people.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
And I don't know if you have time for one last thing that happened recently. This one's shorter, much shorter story.
You'd be my guest, Sharon. I always have time.
Oh, good. Thank you. Okay, so I'm a teacher in a high school, and I have some really wonderful coworkers. And this was last year, so it's 22. So in 2022, we had a student that graduated and was shot and killed very shortly after graduation. And it affected a lot of people in the community, a lot of people in the school. And there were several teachers that were really affected by it. One of our guidance counselors was extremely close to the student. So it really, really hurt a lot of people when it happened. So that happened. You have summertime right after graduation. So now we're at Thanksgiving, and this was Thanksgiving last year, 2022. And I've been very busy, and I haven't had a whole lot of time to watch TV, but I heard about this Netflix documentary called Surviving Death, and I wanted to see it. So I thought, oh, we have some extra time off around Thanksgiving. I'm going to make a point to watch this. First episode was awesome. I loved it. Second one, I liked. Third one, the second and third were about mediums, and they were good, but it was really deep going into like the plasma stuff that comes. It was out there. I've heard about it, but it was still intriguing. And I was kind of looking forward to the next episode that was called Episode 4, Surviving Death. And I thought, oh, that's going to be a good one. You know, so I had finished up Episode 3 and started Episode 4, but it was now like after midnight. I'm starting to get tired and I didn't want to fall asleep during it. I thought, I'll pick this up in the morning. So I turned it off and I go to bed. So I wake up in the morning. And it's kind of early, and I look at the clock, and it's around 7, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I feel like getting out of bed. You know, I love the weekend. I can sleep in a little bit if I want. I just wasn't ready to get up just yet. So I go back into that state where I close my eyes to fall back to sleep, and I wasn't out for long because it was 7:15 when I actually did get up. So in that 15-minute time, I went into like a little bit of mildly sleepy state. And I had a dream. And in the dream, I'm sitting at my desk at school and I'm working. And my door's locked most of the time because kids will just come popping in whenever they want. So you kind of have to keep your doors locked, or you might be in the middle of instruction and someone comes barging in and kind of breaks that flow. So my door was locked. And all of a sudden, the young man who had been shot to death after graduation comes into my room. Now, I had never had him as a student, but a lot of his friends had me. And so he had been in my room. He knew my name. I knew his name. We had talked. I just didn't have him in class all the time, but I knew who he was. So all of a sudden, I don't hear the door, but there he is walking around the side to the front of my desk. And I remember thinking, how'd you get in here? I didn't hear the door. And then when I looked at who it was, you know, he said, you know, hey, and he said my name. I looked and I thought, oh my gosh, you're dead. And I knew he was visiting me from the other side, because I knew, you know, he had died. And he looks at me and he's like, hey, how are you? And I didn't even know what to say. And he said, hey, he greeted me, and I don't think I even said anything. I think I just stared at him because I was in shock that he was there, you know, and I knew he was dead. And then he said, can you do me a favor? Can you tell? And he named one of our teachers and our one guidance counselor. He said, can you tell them that I am red? And I looked at him like, what? You know, you're red? And I thought, you want me to tell them that, you know? And in my head, I'm like, what does that even mean? And I definitely didn't answer him. I was like thinking, what are you doing? And so then he gets real serious and he looks at me, goes, need you to promise me you're going to tell them this. And I said, okay, I will. Boom, just that quick, I woke up. And I'm like, what the heck? Okay, so now I see this young man that has passed in my dream. And then he's telling me to tell two people he's red. What does this mean? So I'm laying there for a while. I'm thinking, well, he was shot. Is it something to do with being bloody and he's red? And I thought, my gosh, that's so morbid. I can't say that to them. And so now I'm like getting out of bed and I'm all, you know, in these thought processes of how am I going to say this to them? Are they going to think I'm crazy? Are they going to say that's really morbid? What's wrong with you? Like, I was just trying to think how I was going to handle this. And I thought, I can't not say anything because he came to me in a dream and told me to do it. And I felt like I have to do this, but I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then I started to talk myself into, well, I don't think he would have had me say it if it didn't have meaning to them. So then I'm thinking, saying he's red must mean something I don't know about, and maybe it'll make sense to them. Oh, I can't believe I forgot the most important part. He told me I had to say it to them because it was going to help them heal. Okay. So I totally forgot. I left that out. I'm so sorry. But that was the part that getting that message and being told it was going to heal somebody, I now feel like I have to say something to them. But I was really perplexed as to the words he wanted me to say. Like, it's just kind of weird, you know? So now I go downstairs, I'm having breakfast, and I decide I'm going to pick up the show where I left off. And I'm going to eat my breakfast. So I'm sitting on my recliner having breakfast and I'm watching the show. And it's a very, very good show. And so I get to the one show where there's a husband and wife and they lost a son right after he graduated from college. He was in a car accident. And in trying to deal with the grief of this, the father was getting messages from his son where he could like hear him through his mind saying things and he would write it down. And prior to that, he and his wife had some signs finding coins and different things. And it was really neat to see the signs they were getting from their dead son. And so the husband is doing these little writings, like writing little letters. And he says to his wife at one point, I have to be making this up to try to like maybe heal myself. Maybe this is just my like subconscious or psyche trying to help me cope with this. And you know, he says, I can't imagine, because he's kind of a non-believer in this stuff, that my son's really coming into my mind and having me write these things down. So then he is sitting down to write again. And then he says to his son in his mind, he's like, if this is real, if this is really happening, if you're really sending me messages, tell me something I can't possibly reason to. And he said, loud and clear in my mind, I hear him say, I am red. Now, I just about fell off the chair. I just heard a student who passed away less than a year ago, who just came to me in a dream about 45 minutes ago, tell me to pass that message on to two coworkers that he is red. So I'm just in awe that I just heard this on the TV show. So now they get more into it, where the husband said to his wife, you know, I don't know what this means. He starts researching it. He's not finding anything. 2 weeks goes by. There's a knock on the door. And he said, I'm at the point where I'm thinking, I can't make heads or tails of any of this at this point. I'm probably just making this all up in my head. And a delivery comes, and it is a painting, and there's a note with it. And it was a mother of a boy who was a classmate of their son. And she said something like, you know, I saw this painting, I bought it for you. It's okay if you don't want it, but I felt compelled when I saw it that I had to buy it for you. So, you know, she sent it to them. And there's a note in there from the painter that painted this painting. And it's a beautiful painting of like magentas and purples and reds. And it looks like a soul kind of going into heaven is what the picture looks like, the painting. And the card that the artist who painted it wrote, and I had to write this down from the story so I would get it right. The artist says, This story of magenta is connected to God's mercy and hope. Magenta is the color so close to the pure human soul that when a young person dies, the pure love is released in this rosy magenta color. That's the color young souls emit when they pass prematurely, and it's the color of communication from the dead to the living. I have chills right now just telling you this story. So now it's making sense to me. I watched it several times, and then I had to write it down, and I was so excited. The one person in the building I'm not real close to, but the one teacher I was, and I couldn't wait to call her and tell her, and I'm thinking, I'm going to wait till it's a little later because it was still kind of early on a Saturday morning here, and then I started thinking about it. I'm like, he wanted me to tell them this to help them heal. I wonder if I can get a copy of this painting. So now I go on the internet and I start searching, and it really didn't take me too long. And I actually found the artist and the painting. And I sent an email to the artist and said, could I, you know, I told the story and said, I, you know, saw this on the show. Do you have a copy of that painting I can possibly purchase from you? I'd like to get two of them. I really feel this would probably help these people. And it's just such an awesome story. I just wanted to get the paintings. So she said, absolutely. So in less than 2 weeks, the paintings were sent. So now I held off on telling the two people at work about it until I had the painting to back it up and go with the story. And it was extremely healing for them. You know, I think having the painting might've been something good too, because for them to hear that he had a message for them from beyond was just amazing. It made such a difference to them. And then the painting to help remind them, you know, yes, he's not here. We can't hug him and, you know, talk to him and be with him, but he's right there on the other side, you know, and he doesn't want you to live in pain and be upset about him. You know, he's in God's graces up in heaven. He's good. You know, he died before his time. And the other thing I thought was crazy about it was the parallel of a young man who died like a week after graduation from college. And this young man passed within a week of graduating from high school. That parallel, it too was a little bit, it's a coincidence, but it's an interesting coincidence. So it was really, really wild, because like I said, when I had that dream and I heard that message, I couldn't make heads or tails of it. And then he had to have known I was watching from the other side, that I was watching that TV show. And that was going to be the kicker that would make sense of it all. So that was a really unique experience to have. And it brought healing to people. And it was from someone who gave a message from beyond. So it's just amazing. You know, the world is not what we just look around and see. There's so much more to it. I really believe that. There's more in the universe. There's just so much more we all have to learn. Wow. That's the end of that one.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
I mean, we say, you know, it's a coincidence, but who knows? There's just too many similarities, and the timing, you know, the timing was absolutely spot on.
You can't, and I have to tell you too, those two people were really struggling with grief. So it really was an amazing message for them. And it really, really, really is helping them still. So
I think that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, he was good enough to come back. You know, he didn't just leave. He came back so they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't struggle anymore. That's absolutely fascinating, that is. And yeah, it is a good show. I've not watched many episodes. I think literally only a couple. I think it's done based on a book by Leslie Keen, I think, Surviving Death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first episode with all the people who experienced out-of-body experiences where they died and then they came back. It's a really, really neat documentary. It was really good. But I think it's crazy that he had to have known I was watching it that morning. And then I am the kind of person who, I don't know that everyone would just run out and get a painting to go with it. But as I was processing the whole thing and I was so excited to tell the one teacher, I was going to call her. I'm like, wait a minute, it's too early. And then as I continued to think, I thought, wouldn't that painting be nice for them to have? It was nice for the husband and wife to have. And that little bit extra time before I made that phone call played out nicely too, because then that idea popped in my head. And I really think that was a healing thing for them as well. And it just made it all the better of an experience for them. I actually, when I told them, I played that part of the show so that they could hear it and see the story the way it was told and how I experienced it when I was sitting there watching it. So it was neat to take them through a little bit of that journey of finding out what that meant as I had it.
And probably for them, you know, that was like balloons being lifted, I guess, mm-hmm. for them. So then they're able to move on from it. Because I think a lot of people, you know, obviously a lot of people do struggle, whether it's, you know, a loved one, a family member, a friend. We do struggle. And I think we can hold that soul back. We can kind of ground the soul back to us when really, you know, we have to deal with it, grieve and move on. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that is what that person would want. And then in turn, mm-hmm. they can carry on and go and finish their journey.
I lost two friends a couple years ago that I worked with. I was very close to. One was a sister soul kind of a person. We just bonded like two sisters. I had told her before she passed, both of them actually, I said, you better come to me in a dream or something. Just, you know, give me a sign or come visit me anytime. And it's funny. They all said, oh, we definitely will. And they both did. I had dreams. And my one friend, she is just gangbuster. She comes in a room, everybody knows it. She's just loud and funny and the life of every party. You just love to be around her, Sherry. And the last dream, I had three dreams with her. And the last one I had, and I kind of have a feeling it might be the last one. I was teaching in a classroom and she comes walking down the hall and I knew she was dead. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she came to visit. Like, what are you doing here? She's like, oh, I just have to tell you, it's great. You'll love it. This is how she would talk to in real life. She's like, it's great on the other side. You're going to love it. No rush, but you'll love it when you get there. And, you know, we were laughing and it was really pretty cool. She's like, yeah. She goes, I saw everyone in my family that died. It's wonderful. And she was just saying, it's great to be on the other side. And it kind of made me feel when I woke up from that dream that it made me happy to know she was so content and in a good place. And the other friend of mine had actually done, she had sent signs to her kids and her family too. And that one little psychic lady I had seen, the older lady, very kind soul, she gave me a message to give to her husband. And it was a little saying, and I had to write it down. I wasn't going to remember it. It was just some little saying. And I wrote it on a piece of paper. And then I had told her husband, this might have been 3 months after she passed. I said, hey, I saw this psychic and she told me your wife had a message for you. And I gave him the paper and he read it and he started to tear up. He says, we always said that to each other before we went to bed. It was something I didn't know anything about. And that made him feel good. So and you see these shows, the psychic medium shows and stuff. It's very healing, I think, for people to have that validation that there's so much more out there. I think it really helps a lot of people. I'll tell you what, if I get a choice in one of my future lives, I honestly believe I'd love to come back as a medium and help people. I love being a teacher. I love helping the students. I love just helping animals that are hurt. Like, I like to help. So, you know, maybe I am an older soul. And as I continue on my journey, I'm going to do more to help people in different ways. But that's kind of how I feel my journey might be heading, just to do more help.
Well, absolutely. I've certainly come across them over the years. You know, you've got mediums and psychics. Some are there to benefit you. Some are there to pretty much fleece you. So always be aware and of who you're dealing with. You know, just because there's a few fakes out there, it certainly doesn't mean that the whole subject's rubbish. It's just, unfortunately, there are people which are always going to take advantage of you in pretty much in all kind of things, really, not just this. But just always be aware. And it's always good to take advice off friends and family that I've visited, you know, always always get good reviews first. You know, it's not always going to be a case where you're going to have cupboard doors opening and closing and lights turning on. It's not always the way it is. Sometimes they will come to you in different ways. And that could be feelings and it can be dreams. Mm-hmm. And that is something I get time and time again on my episodes is it won't necessarily be the main person's account, but it will be something that people add in, whether it's a death of a best friend, a family member, a grandparent even, and where they come in and visit in a dream. And I've had it countless times. My wife had it, you know, she had a grandparent which came back to her. So, you know, they do visit, you know, and they don't always come back the way we'd expect, but, you know, they do visit and they are around us.
I have to tell you, if you're really connected with your cat, my one cat had multiple strokes. It was the day before Thanksgiving. This was in 2016. Yeah, 2016. She was a Tonkinese cat and she lived to be 20. And I loved her so much. And I knew she was getting older. And it just, so a lot of times when I would sit and watch TV, she would sit up around my face and she had her own smell. Like I knew her smell. And we had to put her down. She was after the strokes that she had. You know, we waited through the night to see how it was going to go and she couldn't even stand up. You know, it was bad. So we had to go to the emergency vet on Thanksgiving morning and have her put down. I told her, I said, I need you to send me a sign and let me know you're on the other side with Bobo Kitty, who died previously. That was her little buddy. I said, I need you to do that for me. Okay. And, you know, so we put her down. It was real sad. And then we were going to go to Thanksgiving dinner at my sister-in-law's, and then we pushed it till, you know, a later time. And I said to my husband, I don't want to be in the house right now anyway, so let's just go for, you know, just later. So I got a shower. We're getting ready to go to Thanksgiving dinner. And we came home. We buried the cat in the backyard and everything. And I just finished my shower and I was getting ready to step out. And I smelled her like she was right there in my face. And I caught the smell of her. And it really caught me off guard. And so then I did what anybody would probably do. Then you like take an intentional deep breath, you know, because that was just a regular breath. And I thought I smelled her and I took in this real deep breath and I could smell her. She was right there. And then I did it again. So that was three. And then I couldn't smell her again. So I got three times where I was able to smell her. It happened then. It happened to me at school when I was cleaning up to come home. I was at my desk at school and I smelled her again three times. And then it happened a third time. And I don't know what the number three means, but there must be some significance. And it happened to me in my living room when I was cleaning once. And this was all within probably the first 2 months after she passed. And then it didn't happen again. But even your pets can send you signs.
They certainly can. You're not wrong. I am indeed very connected with him. He's my shadow. Absolutely. We go everywhere together.
Ask him for a sign. You'll get one.
Yeah, it's usually when he's hungry. He's usually very loving when he's hungry. But you know, I lived in a very, very haunted public house. Now, it was probably mentioned this in past episodes, but the place was very haunted. I mean, that was the main reason why I was there, because initially I was investigating the place and I ended up moving in and living there the whole duration of the investigation stuff. We had a psychic. She's no longer with us now, but this is many years ago, back in the mid-90s. And she would come with us on investigations and she'd do the, you know, the final clearing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. If the spirit would want to go. They didn't always want him mind. And this one spirit we had there, her name was Missy, and she was a landlady. And this is going back several years. She was the manager of this public house, and she was very fire conscious. So she would be constantly making sure doors are closed. And it was a very old style English pub. So we had the big thatch roof and roaring fireplaces and lots of wood and brass. And at night you would hear these big heavy doors slamming and locking. When you know full well there's no one in the pub and they're already locked, but you'd hear her all the time making noise, and it was fine. It was never a bad feeling. But also she loved cats, and she had about 18-19 cats. And you'd be in the bar and you'll be closing it. It wouldn't just happen at night, it would happen all afternoon, evening. And you'll be in the bar and you'll see shadows. You'll see shadows going around your feet, your legs.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And I said to the psychic lady, Morven, she said, yeah, it's the cats. They're always around. So, you know, even in spirit, you know, our pets.
Oh, yeah.
Cats and dogs come back.
Did you ever feel anything bump into your leg that's not there?
No, I never felt that there.
I have. I have at times. I've been working at my desk and I'll feel something brush on my leg gently, not necessarily as hard as the cats. And I'll look down and nobody there. Still happens today. And we've had three cats pass. We got a kitten after Sarah's passed and it had FIP that's fatal to the cat. When we took the kitten, he was only 9 months and we took him to get him neutered. And he must have caught the FIP virus at the vets and he died about 5 weeks later. His stomach filled with fluid. It was awful. Poor little thing. And yeah, I felt this crazy little rubbing. I still to this day sometimes feel it too. And I don't know if it's him or if it's Sarah's or whoever, but I still occasionally get a little brush. A little brush. It's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It might be worth listening. Have you come across where the episodes, my episodes, it's called The Cat That Come Back?
No, I just found this podcast feature on Apple because one of my friends told me about it. I've listened to probably six of your episodes so far. I really like 162 where that Southern lady was talking. I just listened to that one Monday and she was real sweet. It was nice to hear her talking about her experiences. So the cat... I'm going to write this down. I'm eventually going to listen to all of yours because I just love hearing all these stories that people were going through things. You know, as I'm getting older and I'm meeting new people and things, if you start talking to people, I've found a lot of people have had experiences. They don't always talk about them, but once you start talking about things, you find out, you know, people have had some pretty interesting experiences as well. And there's such a variety, just like with the UFOs. There has to be somebody that has seen what I saw. Please, if you hear from anybody, I would love to know because it just really, I don't know why it's bothering me so much, but why did I see that? No one else did, you know, that particular kind of thing. I want to know more. Oh, you know what I didn't tell you? After the regression thing, I had asked him because when I had that experience of that lion mauling me, I did, after I got over that, tell him that I wanted to try to be regressed again to go over to see about the UFO thing. So we did that. And that's on camera too. And we got to a point because he said he's regressed people that have been abducted by aliens and told him the stories and gone through it with him. And I thought, well, I don't think I was abducted because there was no lost time. I remember looking at the clock a lot, but I got to this point where he said, was asking me questions about it. And I said, I got to tell you, I have this overwhelming feeling. I'm being blocked from knowing this. I don't know why. I can almost hear a voice in my head saying, you don't need to know that. Or, you know, and it was just a block. I'm totally blocked. And he goes, well, you could come back and we could try. And then I started thinking, maybe I'm not supposed to know. I don't know. But it's that question. I want to know, you know, I just want to know more about it. I don't know why I'm not allowed to know.
I think sometimes it's there deliberately, whether it's your own subconscious putting that block to protect you or it's been put in there from an outside source. I did do a guy a while ago. He was a sailor and he was sailing from Mexico to Hawaii. It was just him and his sailor companion. It was a Navajo and they had several experiences on the way to Hawaii and away from Hawaii with to do with UFOs and surrounding their boat and all that kind of stuff. And the guest, he had regression to see, you know, what else there was. I mean, to be honest, he had loads of details. He had pictures. He had everything about, well, you know, what happened to him. But unfortunately, under regression, he basically started screaming and he shut down. And then that was it. That was as far as he could go. So sometimes, you know, for whatever reason, we're not able to go beyond a point. And that could be for, you know, a couple of reasons. I'm guessing it's because it's probably too much. The same way as, you know, you probably experience in your line of work where there's trauma and then there's blocks in there. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to trauma that we have this protective mechanism in our subconscious to help us. And I think that's what it was with him. I think it'd be too much for him to know, you know, and I think we can imagine, you know, what it could be.
Oh, sure.
But I think it's just a natural block in there.
Yeah, I don't know. It, for whatever reason, I couldn't know. Just like, isn't it wild, though, that the guy who did that hypnotherapy came out and said, it has to be your mom and not you. that would have been traumatic for my daughter to have to actually be afraid she's going to lose me and then have a vision of me being killed in front of her. I think it kind of made more sense too that I was the one who went through that. That was crazy wild. The way it opened up and I just saw it and it happened and it all was very quick the way I went through all that. It was wild. And then my face was soaking wet. My daughter's like, holy heck, you were just crying and crying, like water was just coming out of your eyes while you were going through that. And she said, I was really scared, wondering what the heck was happening to you. And I didn't feel any pain, which thank God for that, because that would have been horrible. But oof, that was.
Whew. And you're a cat person as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm also, get this, I'm also a Leo and I love lions. I'm a Leo through and through too, but
all these similarities,
it's wild. And I don't know, there's so much more to the big picture. My family's had a lot of experiences with stuff. I mean, I could probably talk 2 hours about some of the stuff I know, but it's just there's so much more out there and I love learning about it, but I want to learn more. I gotta learn how to meditate. I think I need to be retired. I can't shut my brain off. I really struggle. I either fall asleep or I just can't relax enough to do it. I have such a hard time with it.
I'm the same. It's just time for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I got to share my stories. I really am. Thank you. There's been so many things too. Lots of crazy things. And there's the one last thing I didn't even talk about was when I was real, real little, like back when I was having that recurring dream, the one time I had sleep paralysis, the only time I ever had it. And I had this weird little gargoyle thing sitting on my chest. And I was scared to death. I couldn't scream. I couldn't turn my head. All I could do was look at it. I couldn't yell. I couldn't move. And my brother's name is Michael. And my mom had all, he had like a little statue of St. Michael. And I remember asking my mom about it. She says, oh, St. Michael's the archangel. He goes after all the bad, evil things. He, you know, he's the one of the strongest angels and stuff. And so I remember when this thing was sitting on me and kind of looking at me with this evil little grin. It made a little circle with its mouth and it went and inhaled like it was taking the oxygen away from my face so I couldn't breathe, just to kind of torment me. And I was saying in my mind, and I'm kind of glad I knew this, I'm like, God, blessed mother, help me, help me. You know, I was praying to, like, in my head, whoever could help me. And then I went, Saint Michael, kill it, kill it. I just remember seeing in my head, I was screaming it for Saint Michael to come down and get this thing off of me and kill it. And just that quick. You know, as I was really scared when I started calling for St. Michael, it just disappeared. I woke up, I could breathe, and I was like, oh my God. And I didn't want to tell my mom because I had already scared her once with the past life dream. So I kind of kept that one to myself. And a girl at work, her husband has had sleep paralysis where like an old witch comes to him. And even as an adult, he's had it. We were just talking about this week. And I said, now, for people who say this sleep paralysis, people experience it. Explain to me though, why, if something is coming to you as part of the sleep paralysis, like the gargoyle little demon things or the hag and the witch, those are common things. How can so many people be making that up? I was little. I knew nothing about sleep paralysis. I didn't even know what a gargoyle was at that age. You know what I mean? I know what I experienced. It wasn't until I was older that I realized what that was. You know, I was like, oh, that's like that little devil thing that I had that bad experience with. And I kind of think that if so many people are experiencing the same couple things and not a huge variety of things, and that tells you there's something there. Like that is the proof. You know, if sleep paralysis, people coming up with scary things, how come we don't keep hearing people saying, oh, a big snake got me, or a spider? Like people aren't, it's always the same theme. So I really believe there are definitely things out there.
Yes, indeed. Yes. You know? The hag just come up quite a bit. And yeah, gargoyles, little creatures, I've had several of them.
You know, what's funny though, after that happened, I remember thinking, God and Saint Michael, don't ever let this happen to me again. And it never has happened again. It only happened that one time. And I felt like they were always, and my angels, I'm like, they're always going to protect me. And I just have lived life thinking that that was a one-time thing, and it's never happened again. I think because I just have such a belief that I'm protected, you know, that I won't let it happen. I won't let it come near me. Now that I said that, I'll get up tomorrow morning with this thing.
Right. I think sometimes, you know, we do interact with these things and they do try and, I suppose, take advantage to come into our space and stuff. It does happen.
Oh, yeah.
There's certainly protections out there.
You just really just got to kind of have a belief in something, you know. And I know the psychic lady I used to work with years ago, she would say, you know, there's certain spiritual ways you can do it. You know, if you have a belief in Jesus and God and all that, then you'd obviously go in that direction. Same with Buddhism and Hinduism, you know, you'd have your direction that you're pulled in. But you can also do things like cover yourself in blue light and that kind of thing. And if you come under any form of a psychic attack, you know, you can use a traffic light system, she would say, where you use red and green. It's never something I've ever really used. I've used the blue light.
Like, do you mean a physical blue light you put on, or you think in your mind of a blue light?
In your mind.
Okay. Yeah. I think for protection all the time, like when I get up and I'm driving into work in the morning, I think of a white light coming down and surrounding my family and I for protection every day to help, you know, just keep things away. And I feel pretty at peace. So I feel pretty good. You know, I try to live a good life and I'm getting more into the spirituality and I'm excited. I hate to rush retirement, but man, I can't wait to have time to really get into this more, talk to more people, read more things, you know, practice more to be able to meditate and get more in tune with the other side and what else is out there.
It's a journey and, you know, there's much to see and do. There's, you know, there's two different sides to it. You know, when you get involved in this stuff, you know, you meet people, which generally you wouldn't meet, but also there's a good side, but there's also a bad side. You can have interactions that you probably wouldn't want, but for some reason it's attracted to you, you know? So you've always got to be aware of what you're dealing with. So, you know, it depends how, you know, what kind of lines you go down.
That's a journey I'm still on. We'll have to see.
Absolutely. Sharon, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you coming on and sharing it all for our listeners.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And yeah, you're wonderful. I love what you're doing.
It's been great talking to you. Keep in contact and I'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye for now. That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Sharon for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.